Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
All right, well, as we jump back into our series on loving one another deeply, today is entitled The Way That We're to Love One Another. And we're going to pick up a little bit of where we left off a couple weeks ago. But I want us to just kind of recognize that right now, I think that the enemy is not happy about a group of people trying to get sincere about going after deep love. I mean, in our culture, just kind of generally in Christianity in America, the subject of of loving one another deeply in the church, it's kind of like it's on the Hallmark card, but it's not lived out really that much. It's kind of like really low. I mean, I'm just making a general assessment here. I'm no smarty. I'm just making an assessment based off I can think. But if what we read about is 100%, we're probably somewhere around like 7% or 5%. I mean, it's just not what we read in the Word is not what we're seeing and experiencing and large by and large in our culture. And so for a group of people to say, what if we went after this? Like, what if we spent some time mining this subject and trying to understand it? It just makes sense to me that the enemy would do everything he could to try to keep us from that. So I want to encourage you today, don't be bored by this. Fight off boredom. I think the boredom is actually from the enemy to keep us from being able to engage. Fight off whatever it is that would try to get in the way. And also what I've been noticing is one of the things that the enemy has been doing is causing the exact opposite message to be happening. Lots of, instead of love one another, it's murmur each other and backbite and murmur and angry and stuff each other. It's like, this is crazy. Like, what is happening? And I'm not mad at us. I'm mad at the devil because he's pretty smart at the game he plays. Here we are in a season and a series trying to go after what does it look like to love each other deeply, and the enemy is just causing all of us to get angry at each other for dumb stuff. It's like, man, it's good play, bro. That was, wow. And now it's our turn to then, like, not fall into the wiles of the enemy, okay? All right, so the challenge of this series, it's confronting. I mean, it's not a teaching series. This is a call to action, and it's, I mean, it would be easier to just learn about love than try to, like, learn about it so that we could do it. It would be a lot easier if this was just, we're studying a subject in the Bible to learn it. But that's not what we're doing. We're on a journey to try to actually embody what we're reading in a more real way, in an increased way. Well, it's confronting. I mean, it's like, every week when I'm prepping for these and then preaching it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is tremendously more difficult to do than it is to say on a microphone. This is so difficult. And of course, we're all in that boat together. And so just reading 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. So as the highest priority in the kingdom, let's love each other deeply. I just think, like, if we're honest, which the only way we're going to get better on this one is if we're honest. If we're honest, I think if we looked at Peter's prioritization list, he says, above all, I feel like probably our own personal well-being is probably our above all. Above all, look out for your own well-being. I think that's probably more where we're at. And then somewhere down the list, and it's probably not second or third, it's probably down there. Somewhere down the list, it's try and be nice. It's not love each other deeply. It's try and be nice. It's like, oh, Lord, you got to help us. But Peter's going, you're a different people. You're a peculiar people. You are not like the world. Above all, love each other deeply. Let that be the highest priority in your midst. Wow, but what about getting my way? What about how I feel? It's like, yeah, I know you feel this way and that, but while you're feeling that, love each other deeply. And then I love the way that he throws it in here. He says, when you love each other deeply, it covers over a multitude of sins, yours and theirs. When you love each other deeply, it covers over not one or two sins, it covers over a ton of sins. Elsewhere, Paul says, if I love you more, will you love me less? Thinking about the way that this works related to covering over sins. So one of the things that happens is the Lord is looking for us to respond to him, love the Lord our God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is like it, love our neighbor as ourselves, or we could say love one another, okay? If this is the top priority and the second priority, love God and then love humans, think about how superior those are to the sins you committed this week. These are the top things on God's agenda. Love him, love each other. When we do that, we cover over a multitude of sins. Further, when we love another person, and I was talking about our own sins, when we love another person, we help cover over their sins, like their anger, their issues. When we show love in great generosity, we enable them, we help them. We help them up out of that. We help the condemnation come off of them. It's a beautiful currency in the kingdom that we would love each other deeply. And this is Peter's exhortation. Do this as a top priority in the way that you think and operate and live. And I'm just like, if I'm honest, this is so far from the top of our list. Like, I'm thinking, take care of my family, make money so that I can feed my family, try to enjoy life so that I don't just check out and become numb. I mean, I think there are a lot of priorities on our list that are way, way before this. But Peter says, don't live like the lost world. Your job as the family of God is to be thinking when you're in church together on Sunday morning, how do I love each other deeply? In small groups, in little moments on the side, how do I love deeply? I want to do this. I want to do this. And this, the more that I stare at this, the more I realize how not natural this is for us. That this would be the default thinking. We walk into a room and we're mostly thinking, what do I get? We're part of a church mostly thinking, what do I get out of it? It's like, our processes are all backwards. Above all, make your effort, show that person deep love. How do I help them? I think part of what's going on is we need to get a new vision of our lives and a new vision of what this word love means. It's been thrown around so much, we're not really thinking about what's intended. And we've heard it in so many songs and this and that, that we're not really thinking about what it's calling us to do. I think we need to see the Bible's version of love, and then we need to believe that the Bible's version is better and right. And I think that's actually part of our issue. I think what holds us back to some degree, I think we think, I don't know that I really want to embrace the Bible's version of love. I kind of like the way my life looks now. I don't know that I really believe that what I'm reading is either right or possible because it's not within my experience so far. I think we need to look at the word and just be gut-wrenchingly challenged. I'll say it this way. I am trying to allow this to mess with me. I am trying to let this series mess with me as opposed to I'm already doing good, I've already got this, I'm fine. I'm trying to go into this and going, Holy Spirit, teach me to love. And I'll just say this. The more that I do that, the more I realize there's a significant gap between where I'm at in the way that I show love and express love and what the Word of God is calling. So I want to say it this way. If you don't feel like there's a giant gap between where you're at and what the Word calls for, I don't think you've actually heard the message yet. I think you've not actually been touched by it. I think it's just been a sermon series so far. We've got to take love seriously and then conform to the Bible's version of love. You know, even go back to the story I shared earlier about the Lord calling me to start the daily prayer meetings. I did not want to do that, but I had enough understanding to go, I know if I conform to his plan, I'll be better off. I don't like his plan. I don't agree with his plan, but I'm going to do it because I know he's smarter than me. If we will conform to the Bible's version of love, we will be better off. We will actually understand verses like love each other deeply as an above all thing. It'll actually make sense. It'll have revelation on it instead of just being words on a page. I'm just going to say a few things here. These are just some thoughts. I've been kind of pondering on this, just kind of chewing on this. What kind of love we're talking about? Some things that I think should become normal. And I want to challenge you, maybe even write these down. I want to challenge you with these, that these would become normal in our midst. What if we normalized talking about loving each other deeply as normal? What if we normalized conversation about that, calling one another to that, setting that as the expectation, to love each other deeply, not as a super Christian, but as a normal Christian? To in our conversations, in the way that we dialogue, for us to normalize a conversation, because right now, I still feel like talking about radically loving each other feels like a crazy message, feels like a crazy idea. What if we got it? What if we were intentional that it was like, when we heard one of our friends was doing something this way or that way, what if we were working towards lovingly calling one another higher and going, what would it take to love them deeply? Oh, you go away right now. Me no like you. Like, what if we started to normalize the normal baseline version of Christianity is that we would love each other deeply, not we would tolerate each other's existence. We would love each other deeply. What if we started to normalize that in conversation? What if that became our new filter and process? And we're talking about it. I don't mean just in your head. I mean in our conversations, the ways that we're talking to each other. Man, this person did this thing. What if we were trying to figure out how to love that person deeply? What if when we experience disappointments, guys, I don't know if you know this, I experience disappointments every day of my life. The more people you have in your life, the more opportunity you have to be disappointed. I experience disappointments every day. What if our conversation, instead of I feel disappointed about this thing, was how do I love this person deeply? Or how do I love deeply in the midst of this disappointment? And for this to become normal, as opposed to like not talked about or a crazy version of Christianity or of life. What if we normalize the conversation, that phrase, love deeply? What if we normalized it, not that it became trite, but that we got into the water as part of the culture of the way that we interacted with one another? Love each other deeply. Second, practice trying to love each other deeply in this church. What if we normalize practicing it? So I don't mean we try it once because we're in a sermon series on it. What if we actually, as a church culture, we were trying to like make this the new normal interaction, and we were, each one of us was individually thinking, how do I try to practice this? Because it's one thing for it to go from concept to then become expressed. Expression points of deep love. Now, I think all of us are capable of, you know, any version of love. I think all of us are capable of expressing love at a level one. But what if we tried to actually start practicing loving each other at a 10? We tried it. Like little experiments, because honestly, I don't think we even know what we're doing right now. So we're probably going to like be bad at it at first. But I can't think of anything we should more like be blessed at being bad at. Like trying to love each other epically, trying to love each other deeply, and just being bad at it and working out the details as we go. But to try to love each other deeply, to have deep expressions of love, affection, I think this is a big piece of it. That we'd show godly affection to each other often. Godly affection. Just think about this for a second. Think about when someone gives you a really warm, genuine smile. And when you're having a medium day or a bad day, how that touches you. It doesn't make you feel worse. Now think about that same person gives you a scowl. How does that touch you? It's bad. Like, what if we were trying to be intentional about showing each other genuine affection regularly? Not once. What if we were thinking about that? What if it's like, okay, I'm about to be around a lot of people. I'm going to try to show genuine affection to as many of them as I can. Or to three really well, and then I'll go hide in the back room. Introverts, show love to three, and then go take a long bathroom break, whatever. What if we were trying to show genuine affection because it's not enough that we're thinking it or that we're feeling it. What if we were overtly showing affection? I don't think we're so far off on this one. I think we've got to start down this road, but I just think that there's no end to how much we can grow in it, to showing that affection openly to one another. Don't you just want to be at a place where everybody's happy and loves each other? So does the visitor. I mean, that's where they want to be too. Like, what if that's what we were doing? What if we were thinking that way? Environment. Now, I've got two ideas on this, and I want to approach it first from one angle and then from another because I think it's really important. What if from an environment standpoint, we promoted a safe and loving environment for all? What if we were able, with the way that we loved, to create a space that was welcome and loving, was an environment that people wanted to be in? It goes back to that affection thing and 10 other things. What if we, as a church, we were trying to normalize when people come to FF, whether it's a small group, they hang out with you in the lobby over at TPR, they show up at Sunday mornings, whatever, a phone call, a text message. What if we tried to make our culture that it was an environment where we were thinking, as what I'm about to say or do gonna create safety or make people feel unsafe? Welcomed or unwelcomed? Joyful or whatever the opposite? What if we started to think about the control that I have as an individual of making the environment either a safe place or a not safe place? The environment being that conversation, the environment being that small group meeting, the environment being whatever, that dialogue in the lobby, whatever, that interaction. I'm thinking about the thread that we've all got going for this summit for those that are going to be serving. I'm like, oh, Lord, help that to be a happy place. Like, let that be an environment that people want to be in as opposed to, like, really tense and, like, what if, as individuals, what if we were doing our best to ensure a safe, healthy, enjoyable environment? What if we were thinking that way? Doesn't that sound just a little bit outside of ourselves? Doesn't that sound just a little bit like forward thinking, a little bit thinking more community to go, is what I'm going to do or say going to promote unity? Is it going to help? Is it going to strengthen? Or is it going to cause the opposite related to what I can bring to an environment or not? Does that make sense? Does that idea make sense? I know it's a little philosophical. Most of you are just kind of looking away and I don't even know what you're thinking right now. Does that make sense? That idea? Say no, because then I can do more. You're like, oh Lord, please don't let him say more. Okay. Great, so all of you just said yes just so I'd shut up. Great, cool, we can move on. Flip-flop, that we ourselves reach to feel others' affections, safety, and love. So a minute ago it was, how do I make the environment healthy, safe, loving, enjoyable? Now, as an individual, I go, how do I look for the good instead of fault find? As an individual, it's like, how do I see what they just did? Because I know them and I know they love Jesus. How do I see the love that what they just did? How do I reach in my own soul to, instead of me looking for this isn't a good thing, a good, you know, whatever, meeting, whatever, instead go, how do I try to feel the affection and love and safety that's being tried to be, you know, brought here? That's like, well, they were only putting forth 1% effort. Focus on the 1% instead of the 99. Like, try to feel that, because here's what happens. If we're not looking for the good, then we're looking for the bad and it's going to amplify. I really think a big piece of how we love each other well is we look for the good intentions, the good motives, the good love that's being expressed from other people instead of seeing only the negative. Friends, we're weak human beings. I don't know how, I mean, unfortunately for me, I've ticked off every one of you at some point. And I'm gonna do it again, and I promise you it won't be on purpose. But if all you ever do is when I tick you off, focus on the negative side of what just happened, what you're feeling from me, whatever, instead of looking and going, does Brad actually love God? Does Brad love me? Have I ever seen or felt anything that made me think Brad loved me? What if we were focusing on that? And now it's not about me anymore. It's about the one sitting next to you. It's the one you live with. It's the one in your small group. It's like, what if we were looking for the good? I just think that that's a big piece of this conversation. How do we help promote an environment that's healthy and loving and that's got affection in it and safety? And then how do we ourselves try to feel and reach for those things instead of allowing the enemy to give us opportunity to reach for the other things? He's always going to have a way to get us ticked. There's always going to be an excuse to be mad or offended or sad. There's always going to be one. But I think in our own hearts, we've got to reach for that too. I think this is actually the Bible version of saved that we're reading about. That we would be a people that are reaching to love, that are reaching to give love, that are reaching to believe in, reaching to help and strengthen. I think the more that the Lord would give us grace and the more that we would respond to this, the better of an environment this church would be. And whether we grow numerically or not, we would grow in depth of love. And I think that would be a healthier place that more people would want to be at, probably. But even if it's just us, what a great place to be. A place that's endeavoring to love deeply. Well, I want to give us some encouragement because this isn't all on us. We've got a significant part to play. But put up 1 Thessalonians 3:12 back there. I just love JC doing slides. Thanks, sweetie. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Paul's got a mouthful here. I want us to focus on this for a second. Let's give this a minute. First of all, Paul is identifying, whether we saw it this way or not, Paul is identifying God can help us do this. I don't know about you. There's a lot of things I need God's help in. I need God's help preaching. Every week I feel it. I'm like, oh God, please help me. Please help me. And I can sense when I am leaning more into God helping me preaching and when I am just doing my thing. I can sense the difference of God helping me. And again, it's a lot of a heart posture on my end because the Lord's like, I'll help you, but you got to get out of the way. You got to actually lean. You got to listen. What if God could help us love the person we're mad at? Not love the person you're mad at, you dirty, rotten sinner. But what if God could help us to love the person we're mad at? See, Paul is presenting a theological concept. He's saying, God can help you to grow in love. It's not all on you. However, his way of approaching that is asking God to do it. So it's not just God will do it all by himself. I have no part. No, there's partnership. And the partnership, Paul is even expressing, you want God's help? Ask him for it. May the Lord make your love increase. Do you check that? May God make your love increase. Not would God give you little encouraging, you know, words that would, you know, encourage you to do it. That too. He says, may God get a jetpack behind you and cause your love to increase. May God help you do this. Just a thought. How many of us pray, God, help my love to increase? I mean, if we're not praying that, then we're already like, there's the first step. There's a very first starting point. And I'm not on to us like, oh, why haven't we been praying that? I'm going, it's available. Did you know that God can make your love increase? He can actually help you do this. We're in a series on this. I'm looking for every cheat code I can find. The starting point is that we would engage the Lord and we'd say, God, help our love to increase. And then it says, and overflow for each other. You know what overflow means? It doesn't mean the same thing as increase. Increase is it's climbing. Overflow means it's now going over, and then it says onto or for each other. God, help me to express love to people in this congregation better. Again, I'm picking on us as a congregation because we need a starting point. I mean, if we're a little petri dish here and we're trying to grow something funny, it's got to start somewhere. It starts here at Foreigner Fellowship. Let's get good out of here, and then we'll be able to figure out how to export it a little bit. Right now, we're at baby step stage one. So I'm thinking, God, help my love to increase, and then help it to overflow on Ephesians, that it would land on you. Help me. Help me. God, cause, make my love increase, and then make it overflow on other people. And Lord, as I feel little nudges, I'm going to follow those nudges. As you give me little promptings, I'm going to walk in them because I'm going to believe that they're you causing my love to overflow on one another. That's awesome. It's God's help in the endeavor so that we're not stuck just by ourselves and our own abilities. I want this. And if I can be honest, I want it from you. I want this for us. That we would be praying, God, help us to love, believing it's the Bible that told us to pray that, so it's gonna happen. And then as it starts to happen, as we get that help, we would get in that river and go with it as opposed to opposing that river. And it's gonna look like overflow onto each other. That's where I was saying a minute ago about affections, showing each other affections. That's one of the overflow points. What if we started to think about it this way? How is my love overflowing onto others today? What a great question. How is my love overflowing in this small group meeting? How is my love overflowing in this conversation with this person that I don't see eye to eye with? How is my love overflowing onto them? Well, it's not at all. Why not? Well, I don't like them. I'm mad. They did this, or I don't have this, or I'm having a bad day. Do you know your bad day, you can still ask God to help your love overflow to the person across from you? And actually, when it starts to overflow, your bad day goes away. And now you're having a good day. And nothing changed. Externally, just all the internal stuff. When God starts flowing through us, our day gets better. It's just a beautiful thing. It's the way that the Spirit operates within us. This is a great ministry we can begin to operate in. In all things, how is my love overflowing in this text thread? How is my love overflowing in my marriage? How am I allowing my love to overflow to the one that sleeps in the same room and bed as me? How is my love overflowing to pick a person? Start asking ourselves a question. And if you're like me, here's what you're going to find. Oh no, it's not at all. I'm not doing bad. I was just not thinking about this at all. So it wasn't happening at all. My love wasn't overflowing at all because it wasn't on my priority list. I wasn't above all love each other deeply. I was doing my life and try to be nice a little bit. Now, what if we tried to be thinking in the day-to-day, how is my love overflowing right now as I have this conversation? And if it's not, let's call that error and ask the Lord to help us. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul says this, same church, he just got done laying the foundation in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Now he says in 4:9, Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. It was this verse, or at least this concept, that's caused me recently to start to ask the question, Lord, how do I love this person right now in this moment? And then me start to get a little bit of insight about what that person needs right now. It's the coolest thing. Being taught by God to love. Check this. This is different than reading the Bible and learning stuff. This is the Holy Spirit actually giving us instruction in the moment or in the circumstance, in the situation. How do I love this person right now? Because sometimes I go, I don't know what this person needs. And honestly, even praying this, sometimes I still don't have a clue what somebody needs. But I'm getting more clues. And I'm finding ways, like, there's moments where it's like my natural thought process would be, well, say this. And I say, Lord, how does this person need to be loved right now? And I'll hear the Lord say, whatever you do, don't say that. Like, oh, okay. What do I do? Just listen right now. Okay. And it goes better. Taught by God to love. What if we brought God into the conversation? What if it wasn't just our responsibility to love a person, but we're with awareness, we're going, how do I express love? How do I overflow love? And then you go, Lord, to this person right now in this situation. Maybe they're right in front of you. Maybe they're, you know, in your life, but not necessarily in the room with you. And you're going, Lord, how do I love them? What do they need? And not just in brainstorm mode. I don't mean think yourself some good, happy thoughts and come up with a way. What if we got into listening mode and we said, Lord, what do they need? How do I need to show them love? Then the Lord would teach us. I love that Paul identified this in Thessalonica. He said, you guys are already good at this. You show love to one another. You have your love abound. And we don't need to teach you about this because you've already been taught how to love. You've been taught it by the Holy Spirit. You're a people that operate in love. And you know how to discern what God is saying and doing. What if we started to do this more? This sounds fun. This doesn't sound like a burden. This sounds like a God journey. This sounds like an adventure. To start asking the Lord in the moment, and again, whether that's you're in front of them or you're in some situation or they had something bad happen in their life or they had something good happen in their life. I was talking to somebody, I don't remember what setting it was in, but they were just like, I'm so tired of having things happen in my life and no one to share it with. No one would even know or care, whether a good or a bad thing. And I'm just like, man, I'm just as excited to share about something good that happened in my life as I am needy to share about something bad that happened in my life. But what if, when I share it, what if there was discernment on your part about what the Holy Spirit would speak to you, how to show me love in that moment? And what if it wasn't the default? I mean, I don't think defaults are bad. I just think that they're like default. They're just like, it's the basic starting point. It's like kindergarten. Like, what if we matured a little bit? What if we actually were taught by God how to love? And we would actually start to communicate that way to each other. It's fun. I've had it happen a few times in the last few weeks where I really felt the Lord and I dialed down the ones I'm thinking of. It was when the thing is happening, whatever the thing was. And I was like, Lord, what do they need right now? How do I show them love? And several times I heard the Lord speak something to me, just something real simple. And I was like, oh, I can do that. And I went with it, and I was like, okay, I'll just do that. And it went so much better. I was like, this is great. Like, I am slowly being taught how to love by God. This is great. I like this version. See, because he's involved in the conversation. He is love, remember? So no one knows how to do it better than him. Plus, he made that person and made their personality that way. He knows how they receive love. He knows what they need. I want to be taught by God how to love. It's better. See, this is a much more full conversation than simply, let's do a study on love. Like, what if we're having a culture shift, a lifestyle shift? What if all of this would actually fuel both the first greatest commandment to love God and the second greatest commandment to love people? What if all of this and our dialoguing with the Lord and, oh God, let my love increase and let it overflow, help me to overflow, and then, Lord, I'm too dumb to know how to do it. Would you teach me how to love? What if we got God really involved in the conversation? part of the reason I think we're at where we're at, and I mean, again, I'm not like, Ford Fellowship's bad. I just think American church isn't thinking about this at all, and we're like 2% better than most. Like, okay, whoopty. I mean, like let's go on the journey. I think part of the reason that it's not growing is because we're not engaging God about it at all because we're not talking about it. We're not thinking this way. We need a paradigm shift, a pivot, that we would start to be a people that are thinking, how do I engage God to help me to have my love increase, to help me to have my love overflow, and to teach me how to love that person in this situation, because if you'll teach me, I'll do it better than if I did whatever default was in my head. Man, I want that. I'm just going to throw out a couple of probablys here, and we'll have the worship team come up. Worship team, you can come on up. Just don't start yet if you would. I'm going to throw out a few probablys, okay? And just check and go, yeah, that's probably me too. Without his love, without him instructing us, without him helping us, without his power, I think we're probably not loving as effectively as we could be. I think probably we've been loving at best with only our own strength. I mean, some of you this morning are like, I don't even know what you're talking about, loving people with a love that's from God. I'm not even great at loving people with a love that's from me. I think if we're not in this dialogue, that by default, we're probably only loving people with our own strength. And we have very little revelation and very little experience loving people with God's love. But there's something more available. Probably, as a result, most of what we've known is probably only a surface version of love. With so much more available, but it's like the depths of the sea, and we're content to stay up on the surface. It's like we're still in the water, but what's down there? I just think that there are depths of love that probably we've never experienced or rarely touched or heard in a story once. What if there's so much more available to us on the day-to-day? I think that's what we're reading here. One more probably. An untapped realm and perspective we've not known. See, I want the perspective shift. I think until we recognize that God has a love that we can tap into, that he can help us in, that he can make happen in our life, that he can cause our love to overflow, that he can respond to us and help us and teach us. I think until we touch that, I think the realm that we've known is of a far lesser sort, and I want to go on the journey of a paradigm shift. I want to shift my focus. I think probably most of us have only ever known a lesser perspective. But what if the Lord would give us grace that we could take major steps forward? That's my hope here. That in this season, for us as a church, that the Lord would give us grace. That we'd spend enough time looking at this, staring at it, talking about it. That our hearts would be softened and go, Lord, I'm getting a vision for a higher version of love. And as I'm getting that vision, it's causing me to want it. So Lord, help me to go on the journey.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.